T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's been fun to be around this group and observe how they've navigated through these last few months, as we've all had to.
It's time for the Ben Cherington Show, every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network. For all Pirates breaking news, updates, and information, as well as a chance to win exclusive prizes, follow the Pirates on Twitter, add Pirates to Snapchat, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Pirates, and on Instagram at Pittsburgh Pirates. Find out more at pittsburgh.com/connect. It's the Ben Cherington Show, every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network.
The show here on this Sunday afternoon, a gorgeous one at PNC Park. The Tigers are in town for the final game of this three-game series coming up, and we're along with the general manager. And Ben, first of all, I think it's been on all of our minds, anybody that watched or listened yesterday, about Philip Evans. And can you give us an update on him, and how's he doing here this morning?
Yeah, that was a scary one. So the good news is that Phil was released from the hospital late yesterday. He was in the clubhouse today. I had a chance to spend some time with him this morning. He's in really good spirits. He got banged up pretty good. He's got a fractured jaw, a concussion, although his head is feeling, you know, pretty good this morning, actually. So in really good spirits. It was scary to watch. He's obviously going to miss some time now to heal. Probably be eating a liquid diet here for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, It was cool to see how everyone rallied around him after the game. He's obviously got a lot of fans in that. He had a lot of fans in that clubhouse before yesterday, and probably even stronger now. And he, you know, obviously was becoming a big part of the team. So we'll miss him in more ways than one. But he's going to recover from this, and you know, when he's recovered, you know, he'll have a chance to come back and be part of what we're building here.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the good news there, is that it doesn't end yesterday for Philip Evans. Certainly a lot of a good career ahead of him, and he was off to such a great start this year. That's the shame in it all. So some roster moves have to take place today, and Jose Osuna comes back on the roster. That makes a lot of sense, of course, where he can play. We've seen a lot of him, but also Brandon Waddell comes up after Nick Mears makes his debut yesterday. Just continuing to need some guys that can pitch. And what have you learned about Waddell? Because seen very little of him, of course, in your year here so far, but a little bit in spring training last year and in the minors with Indy and Altoona.
Yeah. Well, it's no secret that we're going through a challenging time with our pitching, and we've had a number of bumps and bruises come up here with our pitching the last several days, and they've kind of accumulated to a point where we've really had to, you know, just make sure that we are putting our best foot out there in terms of competing in the game, but also trying to make sure we're not putting anyone at risk health-wise by asking too much of any one pitcher. So that's meant making some moves here the last few days to keep as many options on the table as possible. We had brought Brandon back into the bubble in Altoona here a few days ago. He had been on a regular pitching schedule back home in Houston, facing professional hitters, you know, on a regular 5-day schedule. So he, you know, obviously not the same as minor league baseball games, but he had been staying game ready. So we brought him back to Altoona. He's someone that was not originally in Major League Spring Training 1.0, but did come over, as you said, a handful of times to pitch. And I remember every time he did, after he pitched, I'd wander down into the clubhouse, into the coach's room after the game, and Oscar Marin, our pitching coach, would always ask, hey, why don't we get him over here more? Like, you know, there's so there was something that he saw that he really liked, and obviously I'm getting to know these guys, and so we're excited for Brandon. This will be, you know, if he gets in the game or when he gets in the game, it'll be his major league debut, and that's exciting no matter what the circumstances are. And he's a left-hand pitcher who's got good stuff, came out of University of Virginia, has kind of climbed steadily through the system, and we're looking forward to seeing what he can do here.
Yeah, and no stranger to big games, winning the College World Series, starting that Game 3 winner. And he got to pitch in Houston last year in the exhibition, came in and stranded the bases loaded. So a couple of scenarios, but like you said, your big league debut, there's nothing bigger than that. So,
that's right.
But I'm curious, so you said now Waddell was just added to Altoona, passed all the protocols, of course, and
yep.
and Derek Shelton said had a side session. How does that get arranged where he is in Houston, where he lives, and is facing some hitters? These might be hitters from what other teams that are on 40-man rosters or guys that have played ball. How does that yep. how does that all take place, and who coordinates all that stuff? That's fascinating to
it's
me.
It's been really – it's well, it, you know, our minor league coaches and player development staff have been in contact remotely with every one of our players, and there's a contact list that we have where – every coach is assigned a handful of guys to keep in touch with, and that's both to continue to do some remote coaching, but also to guide the workload and, you know, make sure guys have some prescribed amount of work activity. In pitcher's case, that becomes really important. Even though it's not an official game, we can make sure guys are, you know, getting up off a mound an appropriate amount of times. And if it's a guy like Waddell who's been a starter, he would be, you know, every 5 days like he normally would, he'd be getting off a mound and facing hitters, trying to get up to, you know, 75, 90 pitches, et cetera. So that's what he was doing. And, yeah, it's against any hitters he can find. When you're in
– put some in the classifieds or whatever.
Right. Well, and you know, when you're in a place like Houston, there's more likely to be guys around that can do that than other places. So that is a part of it. Literally, we've got guys who – are in places where it's harder to find hitters to face. So, one of many you know, interesting things about this year. But we're happy for him and happy we were able to get him back into the bubble, and happy that he'll get a chance to make his major league debut.
Yeah, that's Brandon Waddell we're talking about, added to the roster today. Lots to talk about with Ben Cherington coming up. Of course, the Pirates and Cardinals series is on a lot of people's minds. We'll chat with Ben about that when we continue here on the Ben Cherington Show here on the Pirates Radio Network. We're back on this Sunday afternoon. The Pirates and the Tigers getting set in just a little while for some baseball. We're along with the general manager, Ben Cherington. And, after today, you know, the manager's always looking at this day. The general manager takes that higher view, of course, tomorrow. And the rest of the series in St. Louis, the Cardinals still trying to figure out their difficult situation with COVID-19. What have you heard from baseball right now in terms of the status of tomorrow's game, the series with the Cardinals coming on?
Yeah, what we've heard is that we're not going to get on a plane today. We're scheduled to fly to St. Louis after the game. That's not going to happen. And our understanding is that we'll have another update sometime later today about you know, what happens after that. I think that the league and really everybody wants to take this a step at a time, and it seems unlikely we would certainly unlikely we play tomorrow, Monday, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't play games in St. Louis still potentially this week. But we just have to wait for more information, and once we have it, we'll rearrange our travel and figure out where to go.
God bless Greg Johnson, the Pirates traveling secretary.
He's one of many in our crew who are working hard and making adjustments.
Yeah, no doubt. And all the folks that work in the health side of things, too, we could go on and on, that's for sure. And with all the teams throughout baseball. But how is that? How are you dealing with that as a general manager? Because I think about we were talking in the last segment about bringing up Waddell. You send down Mears. How you can send him in a car to and from Altoona, that's fine. You did make one trade this year. But are there complications with, say, acquiring talent? For instance, this is a year where you lose so many of your top pitchers. You would probably go out and pick some guys up or try to make some minor trades to fill out you know, or get guys from Indianapolis. You can't do that. So what are some of the limitations that the pandemic has put on you as a general manager in all those different ways right now?
Well, it is a little bit different. I think really the biggest difference is just that the The intake process means that, for good reason, we need to be really certain that any player who comes into the 60-player bubble is safe to do so and free of COVID and not at any risk himself or at any risk of, you know, contaminating or infecting anybody else. So we need to really make sure of that. And anytime you acquire a player, in theory, whether it's through, you know, a player you're signing from outside the organization who's a free agent, or a waiver claim, or a trade, at some point they've left some other team's bubble before they enter into yours. Mm-hmm. So as soon as they do that, there is some risk of that, you know, they're now out of the protocol, and before you bring them back in, you got to really make sure. So that just takes some time because the tests don't turn around right away. And so in a normal year where you might need a player tomorrow and sometimes be able to acquire a player and get them there for like the next game, that's harder to do. There's generally going to be a few days lag between when we acquire a player and when they'd actually be eligible to, you know, play in a game for us. So even in the case with Waddell, who is a Pirate but was outside of that group of 60, it took a few days for him to get to the protocol where he became an option. So that does add a wrinkle. It does also remind me of a story I will repeat from a friend of mine who works in another front office who was at a wedding reception dinner with Bill Parcells, the iconic NFL coach. And of course, my friend was, you know, as a front office type, he's interested in, you know, picking Bill's brain about stuff. And Bill, I don't know him, but certainly from a distance seems like a pretty direct kind of guy. And so they started talking, and my friend started to share some of the challenges that they were facing in their front office at the time about building their team or dealing with injuries or whatever the case may be. And Parcells, like, you know, without, you know, he had known this guy for about 5 minutes, and as you'd expect, he might, stopped him dead in his track, looked right in his face and said, "Son, nobody gives a expletive, and I'll leave the expletive out, but you can fill that part in." And it just, you know, it's true. You know, it's a good reminder that, you know, everybody's dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever challenges we have, nobody outside the Pirates is going to care about that. We have to do our job to find solutions.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really the name of the game. Everybody is dealing with the effects of the pandemic and hopefully more mild effects for folks. We certainly are mindful of that. This is entertainment. This is a distraction. This is fun. And this chat's been fun with you, Ben. This is nice to have you here today. You know, I wanted to know, too, what takes place in Altoona? Because we look at the rosters, and most of the guys are here. Or injured. Unfortunately, there's a lot of guys that are injured. So you don't have a full roster complement in Altoona. So how do they play games, simulated games? I would have to imagine they have to be either augmented in some fashion with a coach or two. I'd like to see Joel Hanrahan playing in the outfield. Joel's a buddy. What are they doing there to try to stay ready, other than throw a bullpen session or hit in a cage? Is there organized activity on the field?
Yeah, I think Joel excused himself from outfield work, but we do have several other staff who have been pressed into left field duty there. Yeah, it's all of that. You know, I was able to get out there on Thursday, spend the day with those guys, and Brian Esposito, who in a normal time would be our Indianapolis manager, he's sort of leading that group there, and we've got a good group of staff helping him. And they've done a great job of just being creative today to try to create as much game speed and game-like practice situations as possible. Sometimes that involves a live pitcher doing a live sim game type thing. Sometimes that involves putting a machine on the mound and cranking it up and using that. They're running all of their team defensive stuff the same way we would here. So, for example, we're playing the Tigers today. When they do their team defense, they're practicing against specific Tigers hitters and putting their infielders in the positions they would be in, just to try to create as game-alike experience as possible. You know, from my perspective, I've only been out there a couple times now, but we get reports every day. Attitudes of the players have been really good. Energy has been good. There's obviously a lot of individual skill development going on that can happen at a time like this. You know, we have the luxury of doing a bullpen session with, you know, Max Kranick or Aaron Shortridge, the guys that are there, and really focusing in on a specific pitch or delivery key and not having to maybe worry as much that they have to get ready and go pitch in a game that day. Same on the hitting side, we can kind of own in on specific goals for hitters and build a practice around that. So it's a bit of a development experiment, really, that we have going on. And although different, I think we need to challenge ourselves to learn from that experience. You know, what can we take out of the Altoona experience this summer? Not just the players' improvement themselves, but what can we take out of it from a practice standpoint, development standpoint, that we might take and replicate in some other way in a more normal year. So we'll try to do that too. But the staff's doing a great job of keeping the energy up and being creative with the practice.
Yeah, and one more thought, I guess, in the Altoona group, when the first rounder, Nick Gonzalez, was added to that group, typically maybe he'd be in Bristol or Morgantown or something, but he's playing there. And so right out of college, he goes and he's getting some terrific terrific coaching from guys that would be double A and triple A coaches, guys that spend a lot of time in big league spring training coaching. So I would think for maybe for Gonzalez, this could be a huge boon for his career, because he's getting so much and he's around guys. The other thought was he's around some major league players and some minor league players too to gain from it. From his perspective, the Altoona experience.
I think both of those are really good points. I think both the exposure to the staff, you know, and you know, practices that are really designed around our major league team, mm-hmm. Getting that exposure right away, and also older players being able to practice with older players. If it's Ryan Hayes and Jared Oliva and Socrates Brito has been in the big leagues and been playing winter ball for years, and just. There's things that those guys have experienced and do that guys coming out of college wouldn't have yet. So that's really valuable. Nick Gonzalez, Leover Peguero is there, who is a shortstop we got in the.
He's like 18 or 19.
Starling Marte at 19 years old, and that's, you know, so in a normal year, he would not be in that, and he wouldn't be in an environment where he was around those guys. So we think there's a real development benefit from those younger guys experiencing that around older players and our staff, and practicing in a different way than they normally would. All, you know, those guys are going to, assuming life returns somewhat to normal next year, those guys will, you know, certainly need to go back and play minor league baseball games, and we look forward to that happening. But we think that there's some benefit that'll come out of this year.
Yeah, a lot to think about here. Intriguing thoughts from Ben Cherington here on the Ben Cherington Show. We'll take a break. More with the Pirates General Manager right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. Back with Ben Cherington here on the Ben Cherington Show. And wanted to ask you about, we were talking in the last segment about Altoona and also the pandemic and some of the different things that take place. And I wanted to ask about Key Brian Hayes and Blake Cederlund, because both those guys in spring training, we saw flashes in practice games in February and in early March, of course, of what their potential will be as major leaguers at some point. But they have something in common, that they both tested positive. Yep. When they joined the club. And I'm wondering, you could put Polanco in that mix too, Gregory Polanco. When players test positive and they come back, is it? Are there some signs that it's, and we're all still learning about what's going on here, but are there some signs that you have to take it easier with them coming back once they test negative? Is there some physical, you know, limitations or things that take place? Because I'm wondering how that's going as teams learn how players' bodies work with that afterward.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, first thing I'd want to emphasize is that there's nothing wrong with testing positive in itself. You know, that's not any of it could happen to any of us. What we really focus our energy on is following the protocols, because following the protocols then avoids the contamination and the spread. And that's the thing that really would jeopardize, you know, us or another team or the season. So, you know, and in those three cases that you mentioned, you know, all those guys really did the right thing once they tested positive and are taking the protocol seriously. And that allowed us to bring them back into the bubble. So appreciate that. And then, yeah, I think we do need to be really mindful of what downtime does to a professional athlete. Unfortunately, when they're in that period, when they're after they've tested positive, they are in self-isolation. I mean, that's the protocol. And self-isolation means exactly that. It means, you know, a lot of the time they're sitting in a hotel room, not able to do nearly as much as they normally would. And, you know, the body changes when you have enough days like that. So we need to be really careful as guys come out of that and ramp up activity that we're thinking about, putting them in the best long-term position for success and health. And the pitching gets a lot of focus of that, rightfully so. We got to be really careful with pitching, but it's position players too, and particularly at a time when it's harder to replicate building up innings than it normally would. So you can imagine, you know how a position player rehab works, or even at the beginning of spring training, where guys would typically start with like 3 innings and 2 at-bats, and then you get to 5 innings and 3 at-bats and 7 innings. Eventually, you play 9 innings. Well, we don't have those innings in a formal way this year. We're trying to create innings, but you've got to replicate the work volume that a player would experience playing defense for 9 innings of a professional baseball game without the game itself, and you got to replicate some sort of progression to get up to those 9 innings. And so that's just it's going to take some time. And in Blake's case and Key's case, they're both in Altoona. They're both fully cleared for activity. They're both doing all of their activity. In Blake's case, he's throwing. He's been off a mound. In Key's case, he's doing his defense, hitting, et cetera. But we've got to build the work volume to a point where they're safe to play in a game. And that'll take a little bit of time. They're both working hard at it. We're seeing it here, even with Keone, who was in that protocol also and is now back. He threw a live BP here yesterday. I'd expect he'd have another one here in the next couple of days. We need to see how he's recovering from that. As much as we'd all like to have Keone back in our bullpen, and we hope that's the case soon, we got to make sure that he's in a good spot before we do that. Otherwise, we risk having a setback and having to start all over again. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's certainly been a very troubling time for all teams trying to figure out exactly how to do it and compete in Major League Baseball games with all the intensity and the adrenaline, even without fans in the stands. You hear from every guy that it's different. So, yeah, you got to have the guys ready as best you can, and I think all 30 teams are trying to do that. But it has proved to be a challenge so far. Back for a final segment with Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington. And, I wanted to ask you about what's taking place right now with the Pirates bullpen. And I think this is my opinion, and I'll ask yours. But, you have almost everybody that you thought was going to be in the bullpen to start the season is hurt.
Yep.
So I think, I was looking at today, and I don't mean to be snide about this, but this is just where the team is at. John Ryan Murphy has appeared in more Major League games as a pitcher than several of the guys, or as many as I think 3 right now on the pitching staff. So that's just where the team is at because of who's there. And I don't care if you're the Pirates or the New York Yankees. You lose 6 relievers, 2 starters, five relievers, 3 starters. It's hard to count sometimes. And you counted on Tyon being out and then Archer right before we got back going again. But, I mean, that's a lot to deal with, all those guys going out late. So now, where are you at with this? I'm sure Derek Shelton, with also we were talking about the limitations of making sure guys can be healthy. So clue us in on what is taking place on a day-to-day basis, who's on that lineup card that can be used, and who comes back and forth. Just give us a sense of what's going on with the pitching.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you of the Parcells quote again to start, and that is that, other than me and Shelty and Oscar, nobody gives a right.
So
like the Tigers certainly don't care.
Yeah.
We're going through this challenge right now with our pitching group, and mostly around health and As you said, we've got a number of guys down. I think there's two or three things that happen during a time like this. One is that, you know, we've got to really think about health every day, as you said, because, you know, with a group, with a pool of 60 players, there's only so many pitchers you can fit into that. And given the challenges of the time it takes to bring new pitchers in, we've got to be doubling down every day on thinking about how to keep our guys healthy. And that means really being focused on recovery and what signals are we getting with recovery and how guys are doing. And that is going to influence to some extent who pitches in games. And what you want to feel as a general manager is every night, you know, the manager has multiple great options to go to out of the bullpen and be able to match up exactly what we want to. The truth is that, you know, there have been some nights recently where we just don't have all the options that we'd want to, and Shelty and the staff have had to manage accordingly. So we got to focus on health. We've got to also then realize that, look, we're asking some guys to do some things in games that they weren't expecting to. Frankly, we weren't expecting them to, never mind in March, but even the last week of July. And sometimes, you know, sometimes really good stuff comes out of that because we see guys step up and be able to execute in situations that, you know, maybe they hadn't before and they're getting an opportunity to, and we're learning about that, and that might mean that they're putting themselves in a better position going forward to be a part of what we're doing. And we've seen some of that. You know, we've seen a guy like Jeff Hartlieb come up and, you know, do a really good job getting us out of some tough situations and throwing some really good pitches. Sam Howard gave up a run yesterday, but he's come up and done a really good job. I thought Cody Ponce came up and, you know, gave up a couple solo home runs, but made some really good pitches against a good lineup on Thursday, helped us stay in a game and helped us ultimately win a game. So there's some really good things happening there. And then there's also some situations where, you know, guys are coming into games in a spot maybe that we're not accustomed to against really good major league hitters, and the outcomes aren't as good. So, you know, we've got to continue to focus on health, putting our guys in the best position to succeed, focus on stabilizing our pitching group as best we can so that Shelty and the staff have as many good options out there every night. Some of that obviously will be helped as guys return to health and get back on the active roster. Some of that will be helped by guys just getting more experience and learning how to prepare and how to go in and execute in situations. Some of that will be helped as our starters or other pitchers just get stretched out a little bit more and take more innings, which takes a load off the bullpen. So it's a combination of all those things. And at the same time, while all that's going on, and actually Oscar and I talked about this morning, we've got to continue to focus on the good things that are happening around our game preparation, our attack plans, despite, you know, obviously we've given up some runs here the last couple of days, but by and large this year, I really do believe we've been well prepared going into games. Our attack plans have been good. There's really good work happening there, and we want to make sure we capture that, maintain it, build on it while we're trying to do the work to stabilize the group.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We got about 30 seconds left, but am I right in saying that you know, if you do have an injury, you want to try to make sure you limit it to 2020 and not have...
That's right.
Have it get over to 2021, yeah. That's for sure. Well, Ben, thanks again for some time, and hopefully you get a little bit of chance to sit back and enjoy a ball game like we're going to get to here in a few minutes.
All right, Joe, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington. Pirates and the Tigers conclude this three-game series coming up in just a few moments, and we'll have Derek Shelton's show coming up as the pregame shows up next. Exception in that regard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.